Today, why rate cuts won't come soon to Australia. Hi again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, this post covering finance and property news. Markets have reduced their expectation of a cash rate cut this year, following key data at home and in the US that suggests both economies are still on a solid footing despite elevated inflation and decade high borrowing costs. Now, Australian money markets are no longer fully pricing in an interest rate cut this year, implying an 85% probability of an easing against 118% on Tuesday. Actually, in Australia, money markets are pricing in 2 or 3 rate cuts by early April next year. And this dialing back came after the monthly consumer price index indicated for July, released on Wednesday, beat analysts' forecasts by going up 3.5% against 3.4% expected. The outcome added to the case for the cash rate to stay on hold in coming months. And then on Friday, data showed that retail sales in July were unchanged following a 0.5% lift in June. While the reading missed forecasts of a gain of 0.3%, it also came after 2 months of strong gains, potentially in anticipation of tax cuts, which kicked off from the 1st of July. The inflation and retail sales data are certainly not sufficient for the RBA to be contemplating cuts in the next few months, said Oliver Levingston, a foreign exchange and rate strategist at Bank of America. Importantly, there are fears that consumer spending will actually pick up this year as government subsidies and tax cuts take effect. It's still up for debate the extent to which households will choose to save or spend the increase in disposable income, said Tapper Strickland, head of markets economics at National Australia Bank. The potential to reallocate that money into spending is quite high and is underestimated. In fact, our latest surveys show a rise in savings among those with free cash flow from the tax cuts and subsidies, but not among those with big mortgages and rents to pay, meaning that while some do indeed have greater spending firepower, and that's potentially inflationary, at the same time, other households are getting deeper into the cash flow mire. Actually, more on this in the later show. CBA is now the only one of the big four banks tipping a cut before Christmas. And of course, they've been dovish over the past couple of years and, well, plain wrong, by the way, as they argue that inflation will come down at a faster pace than the RBA expects. ANZ and Westpac have penciled in an easing in February, while NAB doesn't anticipate one until May next year. Remember that last month, Reserve Bank of Australia Governor Michelle Bullock ruled out a rate cut before Christmas, warning the economy remained too hot, inflation is too high, and that meant that near-term interest rate cuts are not on the agenda, given what the board knows at the moment and given what their forecasts are. Currently, the Reserve Bank aims to return inflation to the 2% to 3% target by late 2026. Yes, 2026, not a typo. That's at least 6 months later than their previous estimate. Actually, the minutes of the meeting show that the RBA board gave very serious consideration to raising interest rates at their last meeting, but judged that the benefits of keeping the rate unchanged outweighed the risk to the job market that would be created by hiking further. And now the Deputy Governor Andrew Hawser has confirmed that despite the recent change in tone from the Federal Reserve, the RBA will not follow the US and cut interest rates this year because inflation is still far too high and the 4.35% cash rate is still not very high by global standards. Sadly, at the moment, Australian inflation is a bit stickier than it has been in the US, Hawser said on Friday. We are not just as confident as Jay Powell is about the US that inflation in Australia is back on a sustainable path to target, and therefore we have to hold rates where they are for the time being, he said. Mr. Hawser said that the RBA would not be able to cut rates this year because monetary policy was less restrictive in Australia than in many other advanced economies. Central banks in Canada, the the UK and New Zealand, as well as the Fed, raised policy rates above 5% to tame inflation, while the RBA left the cash rate on hold at 4.35% since last November. We deliberately did not raise rates in Australia as high as other countries did. That was a conscious decision to protect the employment gains that we've seen in Australia in the recent period, Hauser said. And as we didn't raise interest rates as high, as a result, you wouldn't necessarily expect them to come down quite as far or quite as quickly until we see inflation more sustainably moving back into target. Postscript, of course, they don't mention the fact that the debt ratios in Australia are off the scale relative to those other countries. And that, of course, puts more pressure on households here as a result. Once the RBA does start cutting rates, Hauser said that interest rates will be unlikely to fall to their pre-pandemic lows unless there was another economic crisis. The more likely assumption is that interest rates at some future point, when inflation is sustainably moving back towards target, will fall, but they're unlikely to fall to the levels we saw in previous years. Mr. Hauser, a former Bank of England official, did face criticism from some economists and politicians in July for labelling economic commentators false prophets whose poor predictions could make people worse off. And he said on Friday the point of his speech was a plea for humility, particularly from central banks. Frankly speaking, I think Australians would have every right to be bloody annoyed at a foreigner lecturing them to shut up and agree with the central bank, Hauser said. But that wasn't what I was trying to do at all. In fact, it was the exact opposite. As I say, I was trying to make the case for humility, not for a lack of diversity of views. To add to the problem, government policies are not inflation busting, despite the spin from the Treasurer. Actually, state and federal government policies are stoking inflation. Since 2020, the governments across the country have injected $400 billion into the economy, a key reason why households are feeling the pinch from higher inflation. Economists now warn that the state debt headache could get even bigger, with Queensland heading to the polls in late October, as Queensland Labor government is already spending billions, by the way, of $1,000 electricity rebates for every household, 50 cent public transport fares, $200 vouchers for children's sport, and 20% discounts on vehicle registrations ahead of its October 26th elections. That's a bribe, in my view, to my votes. Now, this is unfortunately pretty standard playbook territory. There has been a tendency for politicians to lose discipline in the run-up to elections. Martin Fu, a director at ratings agency S&P Global, said, citing significant spending increases in New South Wales and Victoria in the lead-up to the 2022 and 2023 elections. Indeed, Victoria, New South Wales and Tasmania have been on the biggest binge. Each state's public debt has ballooned by more than 200% since 2019. Victoria has been the worst offender, with its dollar value of debt set to eclipse New South Wales, despite being only three quarters of its size. Such measures, of course, can be dangerous, particularly at this stage of the economic cycle, with inflation stuck at around 4%. While the Reserve Bank is still fighting inflation, they don't want one hand tied behind their back with fiscal policy stoking the inflation fires, said Luke McMillan, head of investments at Opera Asset Management. But that is exactly what is happening. So there is an interesting question here. Who leads on the price of money? Is it the RBA or the markets? Well, in fact, the RBA takes the market yield curve as input to their modelling. And whilst they may provide forward guidance back to markets, that has not worked well in the past. Remember former RBA Governor Phil Lowe's forward guidance that rates were unlikely to rise until 2024, only to start raising them in May 2022. So why do markets still think a cut is coming sooner than the RBA? Well, first, it could be that the RBA forecasts remain wrong and the September quarterly inflation report could well show a lower figure and a higher jobless rate than the RBA forecasts. Remember that their forecasts on the unemployment rate and wages growth have been plain wrong for a long time now, to the point actually where a recent Bank of England review suggested that they should be talking about scenarios, something which I think the RBA seems also to be thinking about. Second, the wave of cuts from other central banks as New Zealand, Canada, the UK and Europe have already started cutting rates, and the US is expected to join the club next month, with Fed funds futures betting on three back-to-back reductions this year, and with a good chance that one of them will be a jumbo half a percentage point lower. That, of course, would challenge a small open economy like Australia to counter the powerful Federal Reserve, and the Aussie might well get caught in the crossfire. In currency markets, the Australian dollar leapt by nearly 4% in August to around 68 US cents, the biggest advance since November last year. Third, traders take bets on the future rather than listening to central bankers, perhaps because central bankers will tend to discuss recession risk only when they are more than 80% sure, whereas the market's job is to focus on their other 20%. And fourth, central banks remain backward-looking as well as they become more data-dependent, implying they are more reactive rather than being preemptive. This disconnect mainly reflects the fear that central banks have fallen behind the curve or are too slow to act in the face of mounting recession risks. In the short, central banks have a strong reactive function rather than leading from a strategic perspective. But we should remember that markets also can get things badly wrong. Remember that at the start of the year, significant rate cuts were being forecast by the markets and they never materialized, so markets are often wrong too. Overall, it seems we are caught in this higher for longer rate cycle, actually much longer than many expected, and the expectation of cuts in the next few months are unlikely to eventuate, black swan event excepted. The likely inflation pulse from too much government spending and badly targeted support suggests our inflation battle is far from over, even as growth will come in weak on the 4th of September when the national accounts are released to June 2024. So for households and businesses at the sharp end of all this, it's bad news. But it should also question those in positions of power, as governments, central bankers, and perhaps even markets also have appeared to lose the plot. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer.
I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.